Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan, actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Back in the room with my friend Chris.
Friendo. Yes, I am here, sitting next to Pete Donaldson in central London. This is the Abroad in Japan podcast, but neither of us are in Japan, so we're cheating a little bit this week, and last week, and probably next week as well.
We've not done a Skype recording for such a long time.
Yeah.
So we've not done one in my kitchen and your kitchen.
Yeah, the last few weeks we had two podcasts where Pete and I, if you haven't heard them, we actually walked around Tokyo doing a kind of ASMR experience, where we just walked around, each with a microphone, through central Tokyo, basically giving a commentary on what we saw, which
Chris
was love hotels.
It was a lot of love hotels. Chris didn't necessarily enjoy it because he found the noise distracting.
Yeah,
but I think you guys kind of liked it, so maybe we'll do it again one day.
Yeah, if you've heard it, guys, let us know your feedback and thoughts.
Yeah.
If you liked it, we'll do it again. If you didn't, we won't. I personally, I found it difficult to concentrate because I was trying to talk to Pete about various important topics, like love hotels, and trying not to get run over at the same time by lots of cyclists and cars and traffic.
And
we didn't choose Shibuya. It's like the busiest place in Japan and Asia in general.
It was very warm that day as well, wasn't it?
It was
very warm, very noisy, a lot of people making things.
What I loved, in the first podcast, we talked about how there seems to be a lot of Swedish listeners on this podcast. And then when we hit record on the second podcast, we were in Don Quixote, the discount goods store, and a fan came over and said hello. And we asked him where he's from. He said, Sweden. Perfect.
Yes.
Could have been any more perfect.
I could edit out the bit where you punch him in the face. So get out of my face. I don't need this. You shouted. Get out of my face. I hate my fans.
How was your holiday, though? Last week, we heard a bit about your time in Kagoshima, and we heard about the unpleasant rainy weather. What with you coming during rainy season? Don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. If you come in Japan, don't come in June. But I understand you finally made the pilgrimage to Robot Restaurant in Shinjuku. How was
anyone who thinks that the Robot Restaurant is a tourist trap and nobody should go in there should shut their fat mouths, because
I'm pretty certain you described it as a tourist trap in the past.
It is a tourist trap.
Without having been there.
But it's bloody brilliant.
And now you've been there, you love it.
It's bloody brilliant, Chris. I think it's fantastic.
Can you describe it? Experience. To people that don't know what Robot Restaurant is, and I guess a lot of you do know, there's lots of videos on YouTube about it. Just type in Robot Restaurant. It's a place, it's a little room.
It's very small. They must use more space for storage than they actually use for the actual show itself.
Yeah, it's
incredibly
bonkers.
Profitable.
It's in a basement. They spent about $10 million on it, I think.
Right.
I think it's $1 million or $10 million on this room and everything in it. But they have loads of women dressed up as robots and a few robots, and they dance around and do
dance
weird
around,
stuff.
Play the drums, play the guitar. It's a sight to behold, really. You told me it got a little less sexy over the years.
Yeah,
it's quite PG now.
When Robot Restaurant opened in 2012, it was basically a cabaret place. I was the only foreigner in there. I felt a little bit uncomfortable. Me and 200 salary men waving glow sticks, and loads of women in bikinis. And
I dropped my glow stick.
Cool.
It died.
These days. I've been there more recently, and it is all just tourists.
Yeah.
And they've changed the act. It's less of a cabaret, sexy performance, and more just people dancing around and robots. And
for kids and stuff.
Yeah, kids love it as
well.
It
works. I enjoyed at one point, one of the displays had two sort of TV screens on either side of it, and clearly the HDMI cable had fallen out, so it said HDMI, and I was like, guys, get it together, all right? And then one of the dancers who had LEDs all over himself, his battery pack clearly gave up the ghost, so halfway through he was like hammering his chest to make the batteries work again.
Oh, dear.
But it was bloody brilliant, even apart from that, and I ate a lot of fried chicken, and I had a bloody good night afterwards. It was spectacular.
Would you recommend it?
Massively. Get over yourselves. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I can't say
it's
that
quite
enough.
Pricey, isn't it? What, $50 to go
in? It's probably not worth the money. And I can't imagine how much money those people are making. I know the rent's probably pretty stratospheric, but
Well, clearly not a lot. HDMI cables are falling out and suits aren't working. But I recommend going. I think for a lot of foreigners, it's basically what they expect Japan to look like.
I think if you look at all of the Google reviews or the TripAdvisor reviews, there's just a lot of people going, this is not an authentic Japanese experience. It's full of blooming foreign people. It's like, you're in a city, for crying out loud. This is what you get. Do you think Windsor Castle? Do you think all the people walking around Windsor Castle are English? No, of course they're bloody not. Nobody cares. You walk past the House of Parliament every day and you don't bat an eyelid. But when tourists come in, they're like, Jesus Christ, that's Big Ben.
Yeah.
And the tower that accompanies it.
I was showing Big Ben to a friend that came over from Japan recently, and it's gone.
It's gone. Oh, yeah, it's got
under loads of scaffolding at the moment for the next 2 years.
Well, technically, Chris is
have to come back from Japan and have a look again.
As the pedants always say, it's Big Ben is the bell rather than the building, so people get really pedantic about that.
Shut up, Pig. I had a weird week. So I'm in the UK now. Before I came to the UK, I got a haircut.
Okay,
weird. Right. But I was in a place called Shinmachi, which is a kind of businessy district, and it's nothing remarkable, lots of restaurants and things. I was staying there because there's some cheap hotels, pretty good access. If you want somewhere with good access in Tokyo to stay with cheap hotels, Shinmachi, it's only like two or three stops from Tokyo Station. Highly recommend.
I
need a haircut. And I just typed in barbers and 20 places came up. And I just chose one at random. Went in, got my haircut by this nice Japanese lady. She spoke a little bit in broken English. We didn't really talk that much. It was 8 a.m. I can't talk at 8 a.m. My brain isn't switched on. I just sort of mumbled. And she was like, what kind of hair do you want? I was like, don't know.
I've had 2 hours sleep. Just do something.
I just pulled up a photo of I think it was Brad Pitt.
Ken Dodd.
Well, that's how I do it. I just bring up a picture of a celebrity and just point at their hair and just sort of say, do that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I should try that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But not many celebrities have my terrible undercut.
I don't know who could pull that off. But anyway, I left and that was the end of that. Got my nice haircut, came to the UK. Yesterday, got a message from them on Instagram.
All right.
The barber woman. And it was a surprise to me. I'm trying to bring it up, but I can't because my phone doesn't work because there's no Wi-Fi here.
Oh, right, okay.
Basically, the woman said, I don't know if you remember me, Chris. And she spoke in English fluently.
All right.
In message form. I don't know if you remember me, Chris. I cut your hair in Shinmachi the other day.
Yeah.
I should have done an undercut. I didn't know what an undercut was.
Right.
It means cut your hair.
Undercut is what I've got. It's short back and sides. But
thank God she didn't do that. But yeah, she was like, I should have done undercut. And I was like, right. And then the next message, she said, I found you on Instagram through Ryotaro. Believe it or not, Ryotaro actually helped me travel to Australia many years ago. And I was like, what's going on here? And it turns out...
Ryotaro's tendrils.
Ryotaro knows everyone. It's insane. Ryotaro, my sidekick on my videos in abroad in Japan, he seems to know everyone. You'll travel to a weird corner of Japan and someone will know him. But it turns out he used to help Japanese students who want to go travelling overseas and study abroad. He helped them actually prepare their documents, prepare to go overseas. What with the fact that he's lived in America, the UK, Germany and Australia. He's pretty well acquainted with the ways of the world. And so people turned to him for advice. She was one of the people several years ago that turned to him as a consultant and he helped her go abroad. I couldn't believe it. Of all the hair salons in all the world, I had to walk into hers.
He should be like a politician or something because that's how you become... You just need connections.
The dictator of Japan, Ryotaro, with his weird policies.
Oh, wonderful.
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that she knew him and, Well, what are the odds of that?
It's very low, I'd imagine.
One of his students. So there you go.
Very low.
You never know who you might meet when you walk into a hairdresser in Japan.
Good point.
Including
good
Natsuki.
Point. Yeah, exactly.
There you go, another. All the best people are hairdressers in Japan.
What do you mean all the best people?
Well, Natsuki and
that woman. Yeah, there's two hairdressers.
That's two hairdressers.
Yeah.
There's probably some other good ones.
Really.
There you go. If you want some fun, walk into a hairdresser in Japan. We got a question this week from Matt in Birmingham. He says, okay. Hi, Chris and Pete. Love the podcast. I listened to it while running in training for a 10K race. What's a 10K race?
A 10,000 10K race. What do you mean? Like,
it's just a 10K race.
100K.
Could it be 10 kilometres? Could it be 10,000...
Oh, it's 10 kilometres, isn't it? Yeah, it's got to be that, isn't it?
I think it's 10,000 miles. Either way, he says, I heard a thing the other day that in some Japanese stores they have orange-coloured anti-crime balls by the checkouts that staff can throw at thieves to indicate that they've committed a crime, so they're easier to track by the police, presumably. Have you seen these before? I'd love to know more about them. Matt from Birmingham. I read this and I realised... I didn't know what the orange balls were.
You're right.
All these years, you know. If you walk into a convenience store and you look by the tills, sometimes you can see these orange balls. They're about the size of a cricket ball.
Yeah.
And I never knew what they were. I just thought that maybe there was some sort of gift if you get a prize or something.
Yes, they look like the
7-Eleven grand prize, an orange paintball. But I looked into it and it turns out these are actually crime balls.
Crime balls,
Pete.
Yeah.
Basically, they're called... Bohan colour balls, literally crime prevention colour balls, and they're orange paint balls that explode, covering the criminal and easily making them recognisable with orange paint. But they're only ever used in 3% of robberies because they are used more as a deterrent than actually used just because, well, I guess they're quite inconvenient.
Orange ball at you. Cause it's kind of like ink that would... So they're these plastic kind of possibly glass balls that you throw at either at the feet of the perpetrator of the crime or at them to cover them in bright paint that can't be removed. It's like it's like when you try and rip off an ATM or something
covered in
ink and it'll just ruin the notes.
So if you're in Japan and you ever see a criminal running down the street
covered in orange
paint, they're not someone who just loves paint. They're probably a criminal.
Well, we were watching a video, weren't we, of this guy going around and trying to buy the bright orange balls. He'd been quite rude at times, to be honest, but he tried to pick one up, and the woman was trying to explain what they were used for. She was like, "You use it to throw at people," and she actually threw the ball, and it went all over the floor. She's like, "Oh no, I've broken the orange crime ball."
When orange crime balls go wrong. But there you go. If you ever see these orange crime balls. That's what they're for.
Yeah.
To cover you in orange paint.
Oh, I'm a bit of a... there's this thing that people have where they experience the world through touch. So I'm always touching stuff. I'm always just clipping my hands off. I'm walking down the street, I was just...
That sounds really quite unpleasant.
I've always got to put my hands on things.
Right.
And I just want to crunch one of those in my hands and lick the paint.
I thought you were going to say, I like to steal things. And then you're going to nick sweets.
Yeah, you could get away with stealing quite a lot of stuff in 7-Elevens, I reckon. They do have a lot of stuff, but... At 2 o'clock in the morning, who really cares if you're stealing
a
sandwich?
I'd like to point out the Abroad Japan podcast does not... encourage thiefdom.
Don't steal our thieves. We are running low. You know the melon pan?
Melon bread.
Melon bread.
Disgusting.
I had never had any before, and then I went to Osaka and they had big melon pans but in had cream in the middle.
Right.
So you could just like... So it's actually not that nice.
Yeah, it's horrible.
The actual bread itself is just sugary and it's not really pleasant.
Well, whenever Ryota and I are driving around Japan, we'll stop off for a bit of breakfast or lunch at a convenience store and he'll always get melon bread.
Right.
And
weird.
It's horrible.
There's not that much to it.
Melon-flavoured bread. At what point does someone think that was an appropriate... thing to create?
It's just a little bit of...
Awful.
It's just a little bit of...
I'd rather eat a fucking orange crime ball.
Oh, that'd be good, bread. Wouldn't it? Just put the whole... Manage to get the whole crime ball in your mouth without it breaking and then... And then just watch it ooze out of your mouth. Oh, the sensation, Chris. It'll be something else. It really
would.
Sounds
like a scene out of a David Lynch film.
I've eaten the crime balls. Yes.
Crime balls aside, it's not all sunshine and smiles in Japan at the moment, Pete.
No, why?
There are bears. Bears are coming.
Oh, no, the bears, they hide in the trees.
So, this is another story I picked up this week that's a little bit ridiculous, or more scary. In Japan, as we all know, the population's going down quite rapidly in some areas like Akita in North Japan. The population is dropping worryingly fast
The Akita dog?
Probably not, because the population's going down.
Yeah.
Apparently with the population going down in rural areas, bears are having a bit of a resurgence. Bears,
right,
which were almost hunted to extinction in Japan, have returned in full force. Are actually starting to see bears a lot more just walking down the street.
All right, I'm a bear. What's going on?
It's exactly what they say.
The thing about villages out in the sticks on a quiet Tuesday afternoon or something, absolutely deserted. Everyone's in their office. Everyone's going about their business, but you never see anybody in the street. So just to see a bear, that would be fucking chilling.
It would be very chilling.
Mm.
Well, there's currently 15,000 black bears in Japan, it's estimated.
Wow.
I have never seen one. The only time I came close to seeing one was when I was in a rainforest, in this like forest called Shirakami Sanchi in Aomori. When we trekked through the forest, we had to use like a little bell to notify the bear, if there was a bear, that we're coming around the corner.
Yeah.
Because if we don't use the bell and we turn the corner and the bear sees like three or four weird foreigners stumbling through the forest, it's going to eat your
dinner.
Face.
Dinner.
They're turning up. The biggest jump in sightings have been around Honshu in Akita in the northwest. So if you are going to Akita Prefecture, watch out for bears.
I think
probably the city's probably all right. What more of the rural areas?
Is this because they've started moving all their picnic basket business into Akita? So you know, bears love picnic baskets. Have you seen any Yogi Bear? He just loves a picnic basket.
Yogi Bear.
That's why he's been in there.
Do you remember that story? We read it out a few months back. The guy that punched a bear in the face.
That was in
Aomori Prefecture, which is north of the prefecture north of Akita. A guy was working on an apple orchard. Aomori's famous for its apples. And he was working on an apple orchard, and a bear just walked out from behind a tree and started approaching him. He punched it in the face.
Wow.
The bear ran away. So if you do come face to face with a bear, do that.
The world's shittest bear. Only if it's the world's shittest bear. You sound like an absolute loser of a bear, that boy.
Poor old bear.
Poor old Barry.
There you go. So you hear about the economic plight of Japan, population going down.
Yeah. Bears going up,
it's
mate.
It's all about bears now.
Bears are taking over.
In 50 years, most of Japan will just be inhabited by bears.
I'm all for it, to be honest. Might thin out the idiots a bit. People who can't just deal with life.
Natural selection.
The bears win.
So, what have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We have got some questions, or some hellos anyway. Hello, Chris and Pete. In preparation of my trip to Japan last year, I bought a few basic phrase books. Ooh. I would then read them out and try to perfect my very basic Japanese skills. Something I learnt was, I am an Englishman! Which I would proudly say to my girlfriend, who couldn't care less. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong, but this translates as watashi wa igurushijin desu. This is how it was spelt in the phrase book to make it a bit easier to read. So upon arriving in Japan, we ended up in this little bar in Golden Guy, wanting to try and impress the locals. I shouted out, watashi wa igurushijin desu, to the very friendly and slightly tipsy Japanese people in the bar. Upon doing this, they all stood up and cheered and started patting my back and shaking my hand. I thought this was a bit strange, seeing as I only said what country I was from. The barmaid saw mine and my girlfriend's surprise expression and got her phone with Google Translate loaded up. Apparently, I had shouted, I've just had my third child, which would explain all the handshakes and back patting. I began to try my awkward best to tell everyone that this is not the case, and I'm just trying to tell them I'm from the UK. So my question is the sentence, I am an Englishman, anywhere close to, I've just had my third child? Or is my thick Liverpoolian accent crossed with my inability to speak any decent Japanese? It maybe says something that sounds completely different. All the best. Love the show. Adam in Liverpool, UK.
I literally have no idea how this happened.
No. How's he done it?
I don't know.
What's third child?
I don't even know how to say that.
Child. Kodomo
dekimasta. But I don't know. Sangpo. I'm not sure, actually. I need to read up
on
that.
It'd be weird. Isn't it one of those weird counting words?
That's a phrase I've yet to use in my life in Japan. I've had my third child.
Well, I'll start with the first one first.
I don't know how that happened, genuinely. I think he must have somehow really screwed up the phrase. What a shot, I guess, in this. So, yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, well done. Congratulations
go.
For being brilliant with your mouth, sir.
Have you ever used a phrase book? My cousin, I showed my cousin around Japan back in May, around Osaka and Kyoto, and he had a phrase book.
Oh, right, okay.
And he loved using it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of useless, because you have to, you know, you can't just whip out a phrase book in the heat of a conversation, and, you know, it's a little bit tough. I feel like they're almost useless.
I just learned.
She's Google Translate.
Sorry and everything. Sorry. In everywhere. I was in Lisbon over the weekend. Lamento was brought out quite a lot.
Lamento.
I think
that Harry Potter spell.
Lamento, probably. Yeah. Just sorry. But I find actually visiting Japan. I was out with some rowdy friends who they weren't that rowdy, but one of them was like, I thought it was going to be a magical adventure for him. I think I said this while we were having some food.
Right.
I thought it was going to be like a magical adventure, and he'd be like, oh my God, this place is so crazy and like so different. But what actually happened was he went out and went, what the fuck's going on in here? Why are they like this? Why is everyone on their phones? What's going on? Like, really needlessly aggressive. I was like, Jesus Christ. And he would constantly talk on the train, and I would just bristle. I spend my whole time in Japan just bristling and going, everyone stop being so fucking loud. When I went to Lisbon for a festival, I noticed that the people I was with, British people, they were quite loud as well. And it's like, and I wouldn't say that British people are generally regarded as being loud, but I always think when I go abroad, I'm representing the British people. And I just bristle when people are just needlessly loud or talkative when they don't need to be. I just like peace and quiet.
Never take your friends on holiday.
No, I think that is definitely the case. Just go by yourself. We always get emails from people sort of saying, is it okay to go on holiday to Japan by yourself? It's the best way of doing it, mate. Have a couple of days with your friends and fuck off somewhere else.
I've shared a lot of friends around Japan, and I don't do it anymore, though, because, you know, I've...
You just end up going to the same place.
Right, yeah, exactly. I've lived in Japan 7 years, and when friends come over, we do the exact same itinerary, because people want to do the essentials, you know, Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka, and Hiroshima. And it's just, I'm sick to death of those four places, or the places we have to go for the holiday. And I try and take them to Tohoku, I try and take them up north, or, you know, somewhere off the beaten track where I can, like you.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was a lot more fun.
I was in the Hiroshima Museum for the bomb attack, and that stopped me. I think it was a football ramble listener, a football podcast I do.
Right.
And he wanted a picture. I was like, well, let's wait till we get out of the burning bodies and the fucking
somebody wanted
abandoned shoes.
A selfie with the great Pete Donaldson in the atomic bomb museum.
He was very respectful and very lovely, but it just made me laugh.
Did you get
this
spotted?
This is the worst time.
Now that you're a famous celebrity with your 1,400 subscribers.
I got spotted a few times. It was mainly for the football ramble. It was a few, I think, because the videos that we did. That I was on three of your Journey Across Japan videos. I got
four.
Spotted a couple of times. Was it four?
No, it's three.
three.
One, two, three. Yeah, three.
End, when you release the final video pretty soon, are you going to do like a roundup of who's been your favourite guest? Mark them out of 10.
If I do, I think you'll be
fuck off, Chris. We're taking an ad break. We'll be back after this. So.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Rude.
I'm Q customer.
Don't say it.
Wow.
That's Natsuki killing a customer.
Like he does.
Like he does.
We've got a lesson.
A lesson?
Got a message here from Levi. Hi, Chris and Pete.
Hey.
Levi here from Ireland. And my question is for Chris. Ha ha. I'm going into my final year of university and my uni suggested the JET programme, the Japan Exchange Teaching Programme, for me, based on my love for Japan. Now, my question is for Chris, again. It's not for you, Pete. It's
sorry.
For me. Is there anything else you wish you would have prepared for before you went to Japan? For the JET programme, any advice for when you first land? Thanks for taking the time to read this. Love the podcast. It kept me sane during my finals. I think I would have made, knowing what I know now, if I go back in time, I would have made more effort to study Japanese before going to Japan. As the first 6 months in Japan, I struggled to build a relationship with my students just because of the language barrier. And I used to just, you know, I used to just hide at my desk a lot. You know when you have like a period in your life where you might not have it, but you know when you have a period in your life where you don't have a lot of good memories and you try and wipe it from your mind?
You feel a bit lost.
That's,
in between spaces.
Well, that was when the first 6 months of my time in Japan, I kind of wiped it from my mind. Because I remember sitting at my desk in the staff room a lot, just feeling really awkward.
Mm.
The situation did get better. Like, my second and third year, I really enjoyed it, loved it. But yeah, the first year was a little bit awkward.
Right.
And teachers were reluctant to use me in the classroom. They didn't know what to do with me for some reason. I didn't know what to do. And yeah, there was a lot of cultural language barriers.
Right, okay.
But yeah, no, if I go back in time, I'd learn a little bit of Japanese and prepare myself for that. Because it is hard to build a bond with your students if you can't work out what they're saying.
Yeah.
Or how to... The simple nuances of language and communication, it was just hard.
Presumably you spoke English all the time in those lessons. Like, the only... Because I guess you're a teaching assistant,
right?
I guess. So
yeah.
It's kind of like you're only ever speaking English, so, like, it must be kind of quite weird that they just kind of, like, here's the English guy to help
you. Well, you're there to basically give them a reason to speak English.
Yes, you
know,
okay, right.
Someone to interact with. So, you know, your job is to speak English, have them interact with you. But I was nervous, so they were nervous. Because if English went wrong, there was no other way around it.
When, you know, English goes
just
wrong.
We'd just be sitting there in silence. And they'd be speaking Japanese, and I'd be like, what, mate? You what? What's going on? So, yeah, I would do that. I'll learn some more Japanese. Mm. And any advice when you first land, stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated, kids.
If you're coming on the JET programme, you come in the first week of August, usually.
Oh, that's spicy.
Absolutely mental. It's like 38 degrees when I arrived.
Good Lord.
90% humidity.
Ooh.
It was like being in a swimming pool. Oh, it's horrible. To go from the UK as well, where it's like a cool 18 degrees Celsius, and then walk out of Narita Airport into that, it was just formidable.
I wasn't
prepared
for
that, and the first week was a nightmare.
Yeah, you get a bit older, and I'm like, I don't think I could handle such a gear change, personally. There must be an upper limit on JET applicants, which I fear I may have broken.
I think the upper age is 37, maybe.
Well, as I said, I've broken. As I said, Chris, I'm fucked.
Uh-huh.
Never mind. I'll fucking make my own school. But we, and they'll learn Geordie.
We always have a lot of people ask about the JET programme. Like, we'll cover it in a dedicated podcast at some point. We'll talk about it more because it's coming up. The application period's coming up in September, October.
Yeah.
And every year, lots of people ask me about it. And I think, oh, I should probably make a video about it. And then I don't because I'm lazy and stupid. But I will this year. I definitely will, which means I probably won't. But I definitely will.
Well, I mean, if I've got a bit of an advice, when you're going...
A bit of advice.
I'm thinking like Natsuki. I've been hanging around with you too long. Don't have 2 hours sleep and then go down to London and perform what can only be described as a terrible interview.
Is that what you did?
That's what I did, yeah.
When?
When I went for the JET programme, like back in the day.
Oh, right, I thought you were talking about your radio DJ job.
When I was 18 and... would I have been 18? I would have been 21. I just absolutely muffed it. Absolutely muffed it.
Well, I would know. I'm going to dig a bit deeper here. How did you muff up your JET interview?
Prepare to fail. Failed to prepare. I did not do any real plans. They didn't really make it exactly clear what the hell I was supposed to be doing, but I think it was just like, create a lesson plan. So
really, you had to do, I never did that.
Yeah, well, how did you, like? Yeah, I seem to recall they asked me to do a lesson plan, but you know, I'd never done anything like that before, and I was very shy. I didn't like standing up in front of people.
You shy?
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah,
I can't believe
imagine that. Standing up in front of people just scared the shit out of me, so it was difficult. Did I bring a toy in? I think I might have brought a toy.
Okay, that's probably what derailed it.
Terrible. Yeah, it was a sex toy.
Oh God.
It was a beauty.
My interview. Yeah, I kept smiling because I read online somewhere that they like to hire people to teach in Japan who are genki, right, energetic and lively. Mm. So I went in and I was completely out of character. I was like, "Oh, hello, everyone! Oh, yeah. Everything's so great.
I've had my Ritalin.
I'm always so happy. How are you?" And they looked terrified, but it went all right.
Yeah,
I didn't have a lot of experience with things to do with Japan, right? Mm. I'd never done a Japanese martial art. I'd never been to Japan. Mm. I hadn't really studied the language. I didn't have a lot going for me. And it was really hard to convince them that I was interested in Japan as a result.
Right.
So I wrote that I read a book about wabi-sabi.
Oh, yeah,
which
wabi-sabi,
I had, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Wabi-sabi, this Buddhist aesthetic where nothing is ever complete. You admire broken objects, basically. Mm. They sum it up. People, they find beauty in incomplete, unfinished items and objects, like a broken bit of pottery. They love that. I had to try and explain. The interviewer, he looked at my CV and he's like, "Oh, you've read a book about wabi sabi.
Why is that on your CV?"
And he went,
"I've read a book."
And it was like one of the 3 books I'd read about Japan.
Right.
And he's like, "How would you describe wabi sabi? It's a very difficult thing." And I literally sat there for like 2 minutes in silence, and I just went, "Oh, it's..." I don't think it can be explained, to be honest.
I don't think I can explain it. I don't think I can.
And he sort of went, "Yeah, you're right." And that was it.
Wow.
So just put that on your CV. Wabi sabi. Too difficult to explain. Just by saying that line, you'll show that you've grasped the complicated topic that is wabi sabi.
Love it.
That's
Very
all for
enjoyable.
Now, though, folks. Keep the stories, messages, comments, questions coming to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, guys, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Have a good one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, "Yeah, I've had a good life, right?"
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.